What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're just checking on the headlines and seeing what's going on. There's the American corporate media is almost solely focused on the arrival of Americans who were in Libya at the island of Malta now. Meanwhile, we're hearing that the United States is going to impose sanctions on Libya, supposedly to punish Muammar Gaddafi. Okay. When you're dealing with a situation where an entrenched dictator is basically shooting his own people, sanctions are not going to influence him. Sanctions are going to harm the Libyan people who are still trying to carry on their everyday business despite the troubles around them. So whatever the expressed purpose of these sanctions are, the reality is they're going to hurt the people of Libya far more than Gaddafi. Because Gaddafi has enough money and ammunition and food and water saved up where he doesn't care. He's willing to kill half of the people of Libya to make the other half his obedient slaves. That's his mindset. Sanctions are not going to change that. So it's another misguided, stupid plan. And ultimately, I think the U.S. government really needs to be reminded that its job is to take care of this country, not Libya, not Israel, not Egypt, not any place. Bring our soldiers home. Let us stop wasting more than half the income of all Americans on mass murder wrapped in a pretty flag spread across the globe. Come home and take care of America first. We need leaders who will put America first, second, and third, because no government can serve two masters. And we're dying on the vine trying to prove the contrary. All righty, let's see what else is going on here. Do we have any callers waiting? No, we already talked to John, and the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Let's back up here. All right, I'm going to jump around a little bit because I've got a whole bunch of stories I've been trying to save up through the week and trying to get through during the week, and they sort of accumulate on Friday. So usually on Friday in the second hour, we sort of catch up on all these stories. Now, back in New Hampshire, the live free or die state, and I'm originally from New Hampshire myself, so I'm always sensitive to what they're doing. They just voted to repeal their version of the cap and trade program. So, basically, the push for cap and trade is now recognized to have been based on unproven science about greenhouse gases and their effect on the climate. Remember, New Hampshire has had three brutal winters in a row. My brother lives there, sends me pictures about it. Every year, for the last 3 years, we've been told, oh, it'll be a mild winter because of human-caused global warming. And all three winters, major snow and ice, road shut down, lack of adequate preparations, lack of snow plows, all this kind of stuff. So New Hampshire finally said, okay, obviously something is wrong. You know, hard on the heels of the U.S. Department of Commerce promising us all that the scientists at NOAA were not fudging the global warming data, New Hampshire said enough is enough and they're repealing their cap-and-trade program. So good for my fellow Granite Staters, finally showing some cojones up there. Now, with regard to the economic hardships around the world, we are hearing now from Josh Rosner that he is saying that we should have a global debt restructuring, a global refinance, again, to the private central bankers. This is just another offer to change the payment structure, but not let you off the hook for all this accumulated debt. Okay, you're probably hearing we've got a helicopter right overhead. It's probably part of that anti-terrorism exercise, but they're really rattling the walls. Here, let's see. Oh, he just left. All right, anyway, so what he's talking about, we're coming up on a break here, and I'm going to take this through the commercials into the next spot. But basically, it's just about trying to convince you that going on with the current system is the way to go. We'll cut you off a few basis points. We'll lower your monthly payments, but we're not letting you off the hook. So I should be hearing some music, and there it is, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Est estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And again, we're sort of jumping around here. We're talking about Josh Rosner calling for global debt restructuring. And all they're really saying is, you know, we know you're upset about the high cost of money and taxes and everything. We're going to back off a few percentage points and stretch the payments out longer and longer. So it's really your grandchildren's problem to have to deal with. And that should make everything all right and hunky dory. And no, it doesn't. Not if you understand that the entire system as a whole is a fraud designed to keep you slaves. So I have a better idea. Let's erase the debt. Most of it was incurred for reasons other than taking care of the American people. It constitutes odious debt. So let's wipe it out, close the private central banks, and go back to the system that worked for the American people when this nation was started. The government issues a monetary system based on value, spends it into circulation. It circulates through society for the use of the people in commerce without having to pay interest on it. And then at the end of the cycle is taxed back to the government to balance the books. And the only difference between that system and the system we have today is there is no private central bank getting rich on your work. That's the only real difference between the system that the United States started with and the private central banking system is With the current system, we have a bunch of private bankers who just sit there automatically getting richer every single day on the backs of the people. It provides no benefit to the country whatsoever. The system exists only for the benefit of the bankers and those government lackeys who are in their employ by means of congressional campaign, presidential campaign contributions. It's a fraud. It is a pyramid system. It is designed to enslave entire nations to hopelessly unpayable debt. It's gone on long enough. We need to go back to the system that works for the American people. Andrew Jackson was right. They are a den of vipers, and they must be routed out. Now, I just got a story here. Apparently, they're still trying to push this this story about this student in Lubbock, Texas, who was arrested for plotting a weapons of mass destruction attack on the house of George Bush. And we seem to be seeing a ramping up of these kinds of hoaxes and lies. As I mentioned earlier in the show, they're trying to reprise the stolen incubator story that was used to sell us Desert Storm by saying Gaddafi is shooting people in the hospitals. I don't really believe that. It just doesn't feel like a genuine story. It feels like propaganda. As you know, yesterday Israel came out with these photos from 2008 where they put labels on them saying uranium processing facility, and they're saying we must bomb Syria now. And apparently they have a lackey here in the United States government saying, oh yes, I see those very ugly labels on those pictures that Israel gave us. And yes, we must bomb Syria and end the scourge of suspicious labels on photos. So now we have this Saudi student down in Texas who has been arrested for plotting a terror attack with a weapon of mass destruction against the home of George Bush. And we are now finding out that the reason he was arrested, remember yesterday we were saying he sent himself incriminating emails, and I said, are you kidding me? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So now this story has changed. We're getting story creep. And now they're saying that a Michigan-based company that was handling a shipping of packages to him that he'd ordered from a company in North Carolina. For some reason, the package went from North Carolina to Michigan and then down to Texas. And the company in Michigan said, aha, it matches our profile for suspicious packages, and therefore we're reporting it to the FBI. Nowhere in the article or in the statement from the shipping company does it actually say what's in the box. We're just supposed to assume that whatever it was justified the arrest of this gentleman. Now, I was a science student myself long ago. My initial major in college was astronomy. I worked for NASA. And I ordered lots of things through the mail that could look suspicious to a government lackey trying to justify their paycheck by saying, ooh, I think there's a danger here. Ooh, they've ordered nitric acid. Ooh, they've ordered this. Ooh, they've ordered that. They've ordered wire. Well, anybody involved in electroplating is going to be ordering these kinds of acids. They're going to be ordering wire. Artists order wire. They make wire sculptures. There are all kinds of benign reasons for things to be ordered through the mail, and the fact that they are legally purchasable through the mail does in fact prove that there are benign and innocent uses. But we have a government that exists through imposing fear on the people and justifies its paychecks in large part by screaming that they are seeing witches on broomsticks over our homes, such as the TSA. And the reality is that right now there is very, very little that you can do with your computer, with your home, with your science hobby, with your wood shop, that cannot be seen as suspicious by paranoid government operatives intent on seeing terrorists under every single bed. It's just like the witchcraft hysteria of Europe. A million people were sent to flaming, horrible, painful death for the crime of witchcraft. And we all know today there were not any real witches. Back in the 1980s, I think it was, there was a hysteria across America of satanic ritual child abuse. And accusations were hurled all over. We had the McMartin preschool case. Headlines all over America. The FBI actually spent millions and millions of dollars investigating satanic ritual child abuse. They didn't find a single case. It's a made-up mythical enemy to scare you out of money and support. The communists are coming for you. No, they weren't. They had problems in their own country they were trying to deal with. The witches are going to get you. They don't exist. Satanic ritual abuse, Y2K, killer bees, global warming. It's just one constant, horrendous, scary monster after another to get your money and obedience. That's all it is. With regard to this thing about terrorism, in all the years of operation, TSA's never found a real terrorist. We got plenty of fakes running around trying to sell us the idea of terrorists and the necessity for security, whether it's Adam Perlman or Joseph Cohen or Zachary Chesser or the crotch bomber or the shoe bomber, both of whom were walked onto the aircraft around security as part of the sales campaign to convince us that at a time when we don't have enough money to pay our teachers, we should go on shelling up billions and billions of dollars for TSA bozos to grab our crotches at the airport. And it's all a hoax, and it's all a fraud, and it is all a lie. And this Saudi student down there in Texas is another one of the numerous patsies, endless series of patsies that are set up so the FBI can grab a headline and say, look, we're protecting the country from the scourge of witches. And always a few months down the road, they'll say, well, there really wasn't any evidence, and we had to let him go. And we see that time and time and time again. Or we find out that some bunch of losers who like to talk big were set up by an FBI informant who gave them whatever it is they're arrested carrying. For all we know, somebody ordered something incriminating from this science supply place and sent it to this Saudi kid using a stolen ID. I mean, there's enough of that going around. We don't really know. It just feels like it's another setup. Speaking of TSA, this is kind of a fun story. We reported on the other day where this restaurant up in Seattle has signs on their door saying that employees of the Transportation Security Administration are not allowed to come into their place of business. It's a cafe near the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, SeaTac. And basically she and her boss basically said, TSA are not welcomed in our establishment. Their kind are not welcome here. I think it's a good idea. I understand it's going viral, that restaurants around airports all across America are starting to put up a no TSA policy. Shunning is considered a legitimate form of peaceful social protest, and I think it's absolutely correct. Certainly the TSA are not welcome in my place. I wouldn't let the TSA wash my dog, and my dog died several years ago. So I think it's perfectly appropriate. I think it's appropriate for stores to put up signs saying that TSA is not welcome in our place of business. Department of Homeland Security is not welcome in our place of business. Any of these government agencies that are making our lives miserable and destroying our tourism are not welcome in our homes and places of business any longer. There's no law that says we have to serve them, because this is not racially based. It is not religiously based. It is based on the kind of human beings they are and what they do. Ruth in Chicago, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I'm wondering if there is a safe list of chemicals that engineering students can prove up their discoveries from.
Well, that's kind of open-ended. What is a safe chemical? I mean, there are chemicals that are safe 99% of the time you use them, and it's only when you mix them with something else that you get a problem. There are certain complex chemicals with high molecular weights that you probably know are going to a certain use, like the precursors for VX and sarin. But basic elemental chemicals, it's impossible to keep track of.
Most of them have a bad side, right?
All chemicals have a bad side if misused. All tools have a bad side if misused. Guns have a bad side if misused. Computers have a bad side if misused. The problem are not the tools and chemicals and computers. It's the people that are using them. And if you want a moral society, you have to start with moral leadership. If Americans are behaving the way they're behaving right now, it's because they're drawing the inspiration from our leaders. It's like the very existence of public relations firms. These are companies paid to lie to the public. Why do they exist? Well, because their biggest customer is the government that survives by lying to the public. And after a while, everybody starts thinking that lying and spin is just socially acceptable behavior. And you get to a society that cannot trust each other anymore. And that paralyzes the society.
That's true, but most chemical engineering students work with all chemicals just to prove up their hypothesis.
Well, they have to. I mean, they have to. It's ridiculous to suggest otherwise. Ruth, we got to go and take a break. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Oh, yeah. Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With new Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try new Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, the online store. It's a featured product.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And, alright, I guess we're done with that whole situation. Interestingly enough, as you know, we just got done with this brouhaha where the United States, alone among 14 nations of the United Nations Security Council, and in direct opposition to 130 member nations of the General Assembly, moved to veto the UN Security Council resolution declaring Israel's illegal settlements in the occupied territories to be illegal, even though it is expressed U.S. government policy that those settlements are in fact illegal and a violation of international law. And Obama basically came out and said, well, we had political reasons for doing it. In other words, he really works for Israel, not the American people. And you're just going to have to get used to that. Now, Israel, talking about chutzpah, even though they got the veto, even though they blocked, they succeeded in having their American lackey, President Pussy, blocking the veto at the United Nations, that's not enough for them. Netanyahu has been calling up the leaders of all the other member nations of the UN Security Council and chastising them for not vetoing, chastising them for voting for the measure. And it's triggered a crisis here with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Apparently, Netanyahu called her up to scream at her about how disappointed he was that Merkel had not spoken out against this resolution against Israel. And apparently Merkel has had enough and basically said, you know, you haven't done anything to promote peace. You keep saying, let us go on stealing land. We're working towards a peaceful solution. You're not doing anything about it, which is true. Everybody can see that. Israel's always talking about we seek peace with the Palestinians as long as they give us another piece of land. And I guess Merkel's had enough of that. The entire world has had enough of that. The only nation with a government too stupid to realize that Israel does not want peace, they want the land, is the United States of America. Even though officially, publicly, the U.S. government says, yeah, the settlements are illegal. And I guess Merkel's just basically had enough of Netanyahu, and she's willing to actually show some spine. So I think we can assume that a huge amount of money is going to find its way to her opposition next election, because that's the way Israel likes to operate, to subvert other countries to its will. But congratulations to Merkel for finally showing some spine, because she's reminded us that here in the United States of America, we have a total pussy for a president who cannot stand up to Israel even when they gun down American citizens in international waters. Oh my goodness, he's got Oreo cookies and a camcorder. Shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. The Americans won't do anything about it. All righty, let's see. What else do we have here? Glenda Jackson, who used to be an actress and now she's a member of Parliament, has basically come under fire for not going along with plans to criminalize criticism of Israel in Great Britain. Now, she's not going along with the whole boycott divestiture thing, but she's basically coming out with an observation that more and more people are beginning to agree with. Criticizing Israel is not hate speech. It's free speech. We've been saying that on this show for years now. Israel likes to scream anti-Semitism anytime you point out the war crimes they're committing. Their attitude is, oh, we're not doing anything really bad, you just hate the Jews. And if you really think about it, it's a rather absurd thing. It's like trying to defend the Nazis by screaming anti-Germanism. Hitler didn't really do anything wrong. You just hate the German people. That's your problem. And Israel's gotten away with it for 60 years, mostly because the media lets them get away with it. Now, it's wrong to attack the Jewish people for their race or their religion. But it's always appropriate to criticize anybody for their behavior. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the actions of the government of Israel. Not its race, not its religion. We're talking about its behavior. Israel gets by playing. If you've got children, you've probably seen your 4- and 5-year-old, when you go to punish them for having stolen a cookie or something, and they start screaming, you don't love me, and they throw a tantrum, and they kick and scream on the floor until you say, there, there, that's all right, I didn't mean to upset you, and you give them a hug, and you send them on their way, and they still got the cookie. Well, that's what Israel's doing. Every time Israel commits a crime, they run a bulldozer over an American activist. They attack the flotilla in international waters. They bomb a U.S. ship, and they try and frame Egypt for it. And you say, you shouldn't do that. And they scream, you don't love us. You hate the Jews. You're an anti-Semite. And everybody sort of backs down off that thing. And they shouldn't. And Glenda Jackson isn't, and I won't. And nobody should, because it's a dodge. And even Israel's own ministers admit it's a dodge. It's just a trick to get you to not criticize them without having to deal with the substance of what it is Israel's been doing. Israel's history is one of non-stop dirty tricks, evasions, and spin. The Israelis know they cannot actually win a real debate on the facts and logic and law of what they're doing. So it's always got to be tricks, spin, and deception. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
America, welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the phones. John in Canada. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I am a reader of your What's Really Happened for many years. I have a Facebook page, John Turmel, where I comment on many of your leads. Mm-hmm. And I only wish to correct you on one issue. That is something I would bet you've never heard about before, and I will open a new idea in your mind, I hope.
Okay.
Now, everybody worries about the banks printing money out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, oh, it causes inflation, all this new money. And yet, we go to a casino, and casinos print chips out of thin air. Gee, and that doesn't seem to bother us. And when a guy comes into the table with a whole rack of chips...
Actually, no, hold it, John. They don't print the chips out of thin air. You have to go in and buy the chips, trading one unit of value for another. So you're not allowed to play with chips that you have not paid for before you reach the gaming tables. I think that's the difference there.
And therefore, why let them run the chips with our collateral when we could run our own chips with our collateral?
That's exactly my point. That's why I'm saying let's get rid of the private central bankers and go back to the system the United States government started with back in 1779.
Well, what did you hear about the Let's Green Dollar Time Bank barter software?
I have
time
not,
dollars. You ever heard of time but, dollars? Time bank?
Yeah, actually
well,
I did. That was the system
shares,
that Hitler put in
shares,
after he came.
Pittsburgh Plenties. You heard
okay,
of community currency.
All right. Thank you very much, John.
I started the first Let's Community Currency software.
John. Thank you very much. We're going to let you go here because I cannot get in here and basically respond to your questions. There are all kinds of alternative currencies. A currency based on time was what Adolf Hitler implemented when he kicked out the private central bank there of the Weimar Republic and started turning Germany's economy around. It almost does not matter what a value-based currency is based on. Can be on time, can be on copper, can be on gold or silver. It just has to be something in enough supply to support currency for the entire population. It has to be something whose value cannot be manipulated or speculated upon. It's got to be something everybody will believe in. But what makes such an economy work is that you do not have a private central bank issuing valueless bank notes on a reserve system, where if the banker gets $1 deposited in their bank, they're allowed to create 10 invisible magic dollars to loan out the door at full interest. That is what crashed the private banking system. That's why all three private central banks of the United States have brought the nation to the edge of ruin. We've had presidents in the past with enough courage to shut down the two previous versions. We need a new Andrew Jackson to shut this one down and to prevent at all costs a new private central bank being brought into existence in its place. This is an ongoing battle between the bankers and the people. And the problem is, unfortunately, governments tend to be willing to be bought by the bankers. That's why we've had this mistake three times in a row and why Congress and the president didn't learn from the first one. So there are all kinds of alternative systems. It is not true that casinos just print their chips up out of thin air. You must trade for those chips with an alternative form of money. There are what are called trade dollars in many communities. We have them here in Maui. They were there in Catalina. They are considered, you know, units of monetary value, but you must buy them initially so that they represent the value. They're not just printed up out of thin air, handed out for free, and so forth and so on. All righty, so moving right along, and again, there are all different ways of putting together a monetary system, but it really comes down to whether the system is intended to serve the people or to serve the bankers. The founding fathers understood. Let me give you a lesson of history. I know that some of you have already heard this, but for those of you who haven't, we're going to go through this one more time. When Benjamin Franklin, before the American Revolution, Benjamin Franklin was our envoy to Great Britain. He was a very famous man because of his discoveries of electricity and his writings in Poor Richard's Almanac. And because he was a celebrity and he had name value, everybody in Europe wanted to talk to him. And so he was our envoy to Great Britain. And while he was there, members of the royal court were asking Ben Franklin, how do you deal with the poverty and unemployment in the colonies? And at that time, Great Britain, the lower classes were living in absolute poverty and squalor. If you've ever read the works of Charles Dickens, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Or if you've ever studied Great Britain at the time of Jack the Ripper, you will know what I'm talking about. Incredible wealth for the bankers and the rulers, and incredible poverty for everybody else. That was the norm in England. And Ben Franklin shocked the court of King George III when he said, we don't have any poverty or unemployment in the colonies. There's always enough money to keep everybody fully employed because we're printing up our own. The governments of the states, of the colonies, were issuing their own currency, and they always made sure there was enough currency going around so that everybody had jobs and there was ample money for commerce to proceed smoothly. And the Bank of England was horrified because if this idea were to take root and other countries started saying, well, we don't need these private central banks that are getting rich on our labor, that it could completely transform the economy of the world in a manner that was not going to be very pleasing to the monarchies of Europe, who were very much tied in with their private central banks. And so the Bank of England lobbied King George III to pass the Currency Act, which ordered the colonies to conduct their business in banknotes they had to borrow at interest from the Bank of England. Within just a few years, the American colonies were suffering the same poverty and the same rampant unemployment as Britain itself. Now, when you go to school in the United States today, grade school, whatever, the public school system, you'll be told about the tea tax and the Tea Party, and you'll be told about the Stamp Act. But the schools really hardly ever mention the Currency Act anymore, because it was the Currency Act, the poverty imposed by the Currency Act, that really fueled the anger that led to the revolution. But they don't talk about it anymore, because the system under the Currency Act is exactly what we've got with the Federal Reserve and have had for almost 100 years now. It was the very system we fought a revolution to be free of. So the revolution comes and goes. Britain is kicked out of here. Then in the War of 1812, Britain tries to reimpose the Bank of England model in the United States and fails miserably. So then the bankers come in and say, well, we'll forget about war and conquest. We'll just bribe the Congress to create a private central bank, and we'll enslave them that way. And they succeeded three times now. And that is the way the situation operates. During the Civil War, the bankers of Europe, the European banking clans, were horrified at Abraham Lincoln's greenbacks, where he went back to his constitutional authority for the U.S. government to issue its own currency to buy what it needed for the Civil War without having to borrow the money from the banks at interest. And the banks wanted 30% interest to finance a war. And Lincoln said, I am not going to enslave the white race to the banks to free the black slaves in the South. And that's why he put out the greenbacks. And they worked wonderfully well. They not only funded the war, but they stimulated commerce across the country and sped up the reconstruction. And then Lincoln was assassinated, and Congress voted to remove the greenbacks and put everybody back on the bank-issued bank notes at interest. John F. Kennedy issued an executive order, 11110, that took the remaining silver in the U.S. Treasury, most of it recovered, I think, from the Talutrons, from the early efforts at building the bomb. They built huge electromagnets out of silver for efficiency. And when that silver was recovered, it was put back in the U.S. Treasury. And Kennedy signed this executive order that put $4.5 billion in U.S. notes into circulation. This was a currency operating outside the Federal Reserve, interest-free, and it allowed people to conduct their business in life without having to use the Federal Reserve notes. And it was an attempt by John F. Kennedy to break America free of the Federal Reserve. 5 months after he signed Executive Order 11110, Kennedy was assassinated in Dealey Plaza, Dallas, Texas, November 22, 1963. Congress then voted to remove the U.S. notes out of circulation and destroy them. The only ones remaining are collector's items. There are still a few of them around. I have a couple of them myself. And we went back to the slavery of the Federal Reserve. And when the Warren Commission was formed, ostensibly to investigate the murder of the president, one of its members was John J. McCloy, president of the Chase Manhattan Bank, former president of the World Bank. And I don't care how good a banker he is not qualified to investigate the murder of a president, which is what we're told the Warren Commission was supposed to be about. We now know they were covering up the circumstances of the actual conspiracy to murder the president. And when you have a major bank manager, bank executive, power player on the board that is covering up the murder of the president of the United States, inevitably you go back to see how much of a threat was Executive Order 11110 to the Federal Reserve System? Was it enough to justify the murder of a president? Yeah, politics is power. Kings get killed. The money always worships and protects itself. All righty. Apparently we have no callers on the line. All right, coming up to the top here. Now, there's been a Supreme Court decision that has angered a lot of people. I'm one of them. As you know, there is a compelling body of evidence that a mercury-based preservative, thimerosal, in vaccines may be responsible for the epidemic of autism we are suffering among our children here in the United States of America. There is a lot of peer-reviewed science that shows a link. There's a lot of other peer-reviewed science paid for by the pharmaceutical companies showing otherwise. A lot of people don't know this, but in the legislation that was that created the Department of Homeland Security, there was a rider attached that made it illegal to sue vaccine manufacturers for harm caused by their vaccines. The rationale for adding this rider to the Department of Homeland Security bill was that in times of an emergency, when the vaccine makers might have to rush vaccines to market to deal with an imminent biological warfare threat, that we should not hamstring them or limit their ability to do what they needed to do with threats of lawsuit. Unfortunately, the indemnification applies to non-emergency times as well. So apparently, this couple of weeks ago, in a 6-2 decision, the United States Supreme Court upheld that provision of the Homeland Security bill that says parents of children damaged or even killed by vaccines do not have a right to sue the vaccine makers. The vaccine makers could be putting Drano in those needles. You cannot do a thing about it, except, of course, to refuse to have the vaccinations. And as we saw during the When Pigs Fly flu hoax of a couple of years ago, there's a big push to make vaccination mandatory. You will have this needle stuck in your arm. You will accept inside your body these chemicals from the pharmaceutical companies, and if they put something in there that harms you, you are not allowed to sue them. Is this a free country, or have we really become this dictatorship everybody warned about? If we don't have rights over our own bodies, then we don't have any rights at all. And if we don't have the right to sue companies who poison us, where are we? We're making poisoning profitable. We already know from our own problems with our food that manufacturers, when allowed to do so, will put cheaper and cheaper ingredients into their food for us to eat in order to maximize their profitability. They'll put chemicals in the food that make us eat more, like aspartame and monosodium glutamate, because it improves their profitability. And if it's harmful to the people, hey, no big deal. They don't care. It's not their families. And so we just seem to be on this continuing slide of the U.S. government again siding with the manufacturers and the corporations to say, you know, we're going to force you to use it, and if it hurts you, you cannot sue, because we're the government and we love you. Going to go to the phones. Guy in Los Angeles, aloha. Guy, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I want to say first, enjoy your show. I've been following your website for years, and I pretty much agree with everything you say.
Thank you.
The reason I called was about Kennedy's executive order. I had heard that Johnson actually revealed that on Air Force One on the way back to Washington. I just wondered if you had any info on that.
I don't know. I do know that it was basically canceled almost immediately upon Kennedy's death. It might have been by Johnson. If that's true, it would certainly indicate that there was indeed a financial motive behind the assassination.
Exactly. That's kind of why I wondered if you had any more info.
I'll look into that. I do have a copy of that infamous picture where one of Johnson's people is winking at him just before he takes the oath of office, which just is incredible.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I'll hunt that down and put it up there on the website. But at this point, I think something like more than 80%, almost 90% of Americans do not believe the Lee Harvey Oswald story any longer, and certainly in the aftermath of Saddam's nuke stories and all these other exposed hoaxes, I think most people are coming to realize that most of what they think they know about the world living in the United States is an absolute media-created fiction. We are the most lied-to people on the face of planet Earth, and it is time to stand up for the truth. I will have a truthful government, or I'll have no government at all. I do not give my consent to be ruled by lies, fraud, deception, and public relations. Anything else?
Well, no, I'm with you on everything. Keep up the good work, and thanks for everything you do.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the call. Aloha, and tell all your friends about our show. All right. Well, my goodness, what a Friday here, and I'm running out of energy, and we're running out of time. We've got less than a minute before we go to commercial break. So, quick little story here before the wrap-up. If you have a Wi-Fi port in your home, make sure the security is turned on. And I know that sounds like common sense, but sometimes people don't. Not too long ago, before it became an issue, I had a Wi-Fi port and I left it open because we had students in neighboring condos who needed to use it for schoolwork. And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead and use our Wi-Fi. And it turns out now that there are companies going out to basically extort money for downloading porn, and they don't have to prove it. You have to prove that you didn't, and they charge you money for it, and a lot of people are paying just to avoid public embarrassment. So it's yet another scam to loot the people. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I just got an email from somebody who's basically saying their understanding is that Kennedy's executive order 11110 was never actually repealed or countermanded by any subsequent president. That was also my understanding as well, but I'm going to go in and double check that. But basically what that means is that Barack Obama has the ability to start issuing a currency free of the Federal Reserve anytime he wants to pick up that phone to the Treasury Department And obviously that he does not do so means that he is equally willing to sell you all into the slavery of the private central bank. And he's just perfectly happy with that whole situation. We're seeing now that the Saudi student down in Texas is going to plead not guilty on his terror charges. And so I figure in about 3 to 4 months, they'll drop the case entirely for lack of any real substantive evidence. But meantime, they've got the headlines about, oh, those gosh darn bad Muslim terrorists. You've got to be afraid of them. You've got to give us your money and let us put your children in uniform to save you from those mean old Muslim terrorists. It's all part of that propaganda thing. Who are the real terrorists in the world today? Who is it who works to keep you constantly in a state of fear? ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, NPR, Fox News, Washington Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times. It's the corporate media and the government that are keeping you terrorized. TSA has never found a real terrorist. We just got all these phonies and fakes running around. It's all a big theater piece to keep you scared. So scared that you cannot think about what's going on. The problem is, and I've said this before, and we heard the same thing being said in Libya and Egypt, fear is very exhausting. It's very tiring. You can only stay afraid for so long. Then your brain starts running out of those neurotransmitters that signal fear. And it isn't a question of choosing to be brave or deciding that you're brave. You are physically unable to feel fear any longer. You've burned out those neurotransmitters. They just don't have any effect any longer. And all that's left is the rage and the anger. We kept hearing it all across Egypt. We lost our fear. We stopped being afraid. And when you stop being afraid of the government and the media that is trying to keep you afraid, they lose their power over you. And that's when people stand up and say, no more. We will not be kept afraid. We will not be driven into poverty to feed the money addiction of Wall Street and Washington, D.C. That is why we must all stand with those people in Wisconsin. And we must stand with everybody everywhere who stands up and says, I have a right to a decent standard of living by virtue of my own work, and to not have the money looted from me to make Wall Street richer than it already is. Now, the Republicans are already out there. And I say this as a paleocon myself, but I'm the kind of a conservative where I can point at other conservatives and say, you're wrong, and you're going in a bad direction. I'm not a party loyalist where I'm going to go along with my party when they're making a mistake, and they're making a mistake here. They're trying to turn this into an issue where it's the teachers and the police and the fire department that are somehow responsible for our nation's poverty because, oh, they're being paid way too much. And you never hear them complaining about the Wall Street pay and the bonuses and the debt that is run up by this Ponzi scheme called the Federal Reserve. So don't fall for it. Your fellow Americans are not the enemy. Wall Street and D.C. are the enemy. We must stand united against them. We'll be back Monday, 2 o'clock Central, here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, stay safe, have a good weekend, drive carefully, and aloha.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100